Hi, this is Garrett, also known as Barefoot Tour Guide. I'm the host and GM of Threat Detected.
Hi, I'm Joshua. I play Kayla Cork in Threat Detected.
Hi, this is David, and I play Nemo on Threat Detected.
This is Tony, and I play Tor.
I'm Doc, and I play Carson.
I'm Quinn, and I play Kelton.
I'm Zach, and I play Barris.
I'm Steve, and I play Arama.
And we have the Order 66 podcast.
This is the massive ego of Reaper Brian, and I never listen to the Order 66 podcast.
This is Mrs. GM Chris, and I never listen to the Order 66 podcast because TG is no longer on there. Oh, wait. Damn, that's me. Hey, GM Chris?
Yeah?
You're a dick.
I know. I ain't saying that. Come on, just say something. Just say, I'm Wayne Reynolds, and I never listen to the Order 66 podcast. I ain't saying that. I'm Wayne Reynolds and I have a sexy voice. I ain't saying that. I'm Wayne Reynolds and I
You're a dick.
Yeah.
The BBC would like to announce that the next scene is not considered suitable for family viewing.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll. www.d20radio.com.
Execute Order 66.
Coming at you live on Ustream and by podcast at d20radio.com. This is the Order 66 podcast, brought to you by MapsOfMastery.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Order 66 podcast. Your source for everything Star Wars Saga Edition. My name's GM Dave, and this is ReaperCon 2011.
Woo!
Not in the mics, guys. Thanks a lot. Anyway, it's a sparkling Sunday afternoon here in Denton, Texas. And we're here for ReaperCon, and this is going to be your 130th episode of the Order 66 podcast. And, yeah, so I'm GM Dave, and this guy over here, this is, this is GM Chris.
What is up, Gamer Nation? So we are joined today for a very strange cast. We are live here at ReaperCon 2011, and we have a cadre of Star Wars fanatics with us who have all gotten the opportunity to play some Star Wars Saga Edition with us this weekend. Was it good?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah?
Amazing.
Amazing. Dude, it was awesome. I got to witness, in fact, that we've got a stream on the Ustream right now, actually, of the last encounter of your...
Treasures of Destiny series.
Yes.
Get it right!
Yeah.
God.
I'm telling you, dude.
Even the show.
Sorry, dude. The Eye of... It was what? The Eye of Kessel.
The Eyes of Kessel.
The Eyes of Kessel are upon you.
The Eyes of Kessel...
Yes, indeed.
No. Long days. Yeah, thank you.
And the
Wookiee runs away. The Wookiee never runs away.
Wow. Dude. We got to record that. There you go.
The Wookiee is deeply in love with Mon Mothma.
Yeah, she was. Yes, that was something else. I'll tell you what, it was really fun watching you guys. We all had a great time. And, well, you know, that being that is, well, quite frankly,
yes,
that.
So we're going to spend this time really just having some interaction with some of the folks here at ReaperCon and our fine guests that are here with us, getting their impressions of Saga. We have some people with us that have never played the system before. We have some veterans, and we have some people that haven't played in some time. you know. So, you know, we're interested to get some reactions about the modules and various things. So let's start by doing a roundtable introduction. If you guys want to introduce yourselves and your voices to the various members of the listening Gamer Nation, tell us who you are, if you're anyone important, and you're all you're all someone important, but you know.
My mom says I'm important.
I'm sorry?
My mom says I'm important.
Aw, my mommy says that too. It's very nice. And also, if you guys have a forum handle that the Gamer Nation might know you by as part of the community, let us know.
Hi, I'm Paul Pennington. I would be on the forums as Teal Fox. Been a Star Wars GM and player for probably since the system came out. Had a great time here at ReaperCon. Looking forward to talking about it.
So I'm also on the forums. I'm Rikoshi. Hello. Came all the way out here from far away San Jose, California, just to hang out with a bunch of nerds and play make-believe Star Wars with people.
I resemble that remark.
As do I.
Hey.
Hey,
I'm the one who took the time and money to come out here, so hey.
Yeah. I don't know. That may be a greater indictment of yourself.
Well, this is Chris Bradshaw, GM Chance. Second year in a row at ReaperCon, hanging out with these guys and having a great time.
You say it like it's a badge of honor. Steph, what ReaperCon is this for you?
Third.
Oh, okay.
Fourth.
I thought it was like seventh.
No.
Okay.
Feel special
I'm sorry.
Anymore.
I was trying to show up, Brad. No. You're supposed to say seventh. I'm trying to show up.
No. 15th.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that's yeah. I'm going home.
Being
now.
That this is like yeah, Reaper 10, 11. Yeah.
I was here before.
You were pre-Reaper by 4 years.
Hi, I'm Chris Patlavani, and this girl next to me is Julianne Hardy. I'm a first-time Saga player, long-time gamer, and came down to the convention this weekend, played the whole Saga that GM Chris put out for us, had a lot of fun.
This is Peter Alter, better known as Avendisura on the forum. This is my first ReaperCon, and my first foray back into Star Wars. After a way too long 2 years, it was amazing.
I like to hear that. Sweetness.
I'm Darren West, also known as GM Master D, and this will be my third ReaperCon.
Ooh.
Too.
Yeah.
My third time playing Saga. I was there when you did about the first one, and then the second one came out.
That's right.
The third one, and I just got to play the third one.
It's like a nursery rhyme.
I'm telling you, it's I just look forward to each one. It's great.
Stephanie Hover, a.k.a. Documentary Girl, and I've only ever played Saga at ReaperCon last year and this year, so I finished up the trilogy this year.
That's right.
I'm hoping there will be some sort of offshoot for the Wookiee. Just saying.
One can hope.
Yeah, you get a spin-off show.
Yes. You would think so.
You can't get canceled after 5 episodes, though. That's the difficult part.
It happens.
Well, if so, I want to adopt the Wookiee. That's all I'm saying. Take him and just go somewhere, shove a Saga table and level 8 Wookiee.
Just be there.
Yeah.
Rolfer.
Yeah.
Where's the bow tie and a tuxedo?
Yes.
Got the hotties from Mon Mothma.
Because Wookiees are just that cool.
Spice mine.
Yeah.
Those
bastards. Straight off you.
Okay. Anyway.
Very nice.
All right. Well, introductions out of the way. We're going to roll into the news.
Accessing.
Ah, good. New acquisition.
Greetings, Gamer Nation. My designation is KCK Sim, and this is your HoloNewsNet update.
All right, so this week in the news, there's this little thing called ReaperCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that just happened, like, this weekend. So it's over now.
It is over now.
Yeah, so don't buy tickets.
That would be bad.
Unless you want to come next year.
Buy tickets next year. Dude, which one of you guys got the...
That would be me.
You.
Yes.
All right.
I already have preemptively gotten the, admit two for next year, so I'm committed to come back.
Yes.
In the auction.
Yeah.
In the auction, yeah.
If you pre-order at the ReaperCon, you get $10 off each ticket. So it's only $20 a person. You go ahead and pre-register. So.
See? Look at that.
Sweetness.
Look at that.
Yep.
It's pre-order.
That's the pre-order for
Reapercon for next
Very
year.
Very nice. It's in the back of the program.
See, those are the dusky dulcids of Juliana who wouldn't speak earlier. Yes.
That's because people don't understand me.
I understand you perfectly, and we have a very large listener base in Australia.
Yes, we do. Okay. Do you know the only other podcast that's devoted to Saga Edition is an Aussie podcast?
Yep. We inspired them.
Good.
Yeah, right.
She's like, yay for you.
You're right. Yeah, it was either us or the Funnel Web Spiders, one or the other. I don't know which.
Slow clap.
Yeah.
Very slow clap. But other conventions coming up, obviously. Origins coming up. Everyone, when's Origins? Everyone? No one? Anyone going to Origins in the bunch? None? June 22nd?
Yes. And then, of course, the big daddy of them all.
Gen Con,
which a lot of us are going to be at. Yeah. Yeah. What?
Put in a plug.
Plug it. Plug it.
At Gen Con.
Remind them who's speaking.
This is GM Master D at Gen Con. We are going to be running, we as in Patrick Keith and a few others, we have made a Death Star Trench Run.
Yes.
With modified Saga Edition rules for fast combat. We have, 30 TIE Fighters, 30 Rebel ships, 20 guns, some on the surface, some on the towers.
Will they impact on the surface?
They will.
Okay.
And we have a trench run. It will be a three-dimensional trench run, very similar to what some people had seen some of my previous work on the tower this weekend. And we'll get a chance to see if the Imperials win this time or if the Rebels win this time.
Dude, so there's tickets open and available for this?
Yeah, I believe so. You might want to go check the Gen Con website. We've already sold out.
You guys have been sold out within 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, please come by anyways and watch. Or if you really, really want to play, you should write the Gen Con people and tell them that they want more slots available from us, and we'll see what we can do for them.
You'll oblige.
If Gen Con asks us, we'll definitely oblige. So please come by and at least say hi and see the trench run for yourselves.
Are you going to post that trench run on the D20 Radio Network?
So, yeah.
So those of us who can't meet Gen Con can play?
Yes, I am going to do that.
Ah, there you go. He's committed.
I will post the link to our blog where you can follow our progress that we've made on all the ships in the trench run so far.
Cool.
And some of the rules we'll have. So.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Sex in advance for that.
Yes.
Sex in advance.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Awesome. And then we do this.
This is a Holonet News Update. I'm Luke Lowbrow. The Death Star space station has once again experienced a major data security breach. Not only have the technical readouts been stolen, it appears rebel terrorists have reprogrammed Darth Vader's digital video recorder.
No!
Vader had been accumulating a vast treasure trove of television programming that he was planning on backing up to DVD-R discs, such as episodes of Grey's Anatomy, The Bachelorette, General Hospital, Parenthood, Sister Wives, American Idol, and The Biggest Loser Couples Edition. What really threw the Dark Lord of Sith into a force-fueled rage was his discovery that he had lost all 7 seasons of The Gilmore Girls, which he now must purchase on DVD with his meager Imperial Civil Servant salary. As he dashed out of the Death Star to begin his pursuit of Princess Leia's rebel blockade runner, Lord Vader was quoted as saying, quote, "When I get my hands on the captain of that ship, I'm going to grab him by the neck, ask him some pointless questions, and then throw him against the wall. I can't sleep without my nightly Lorelei and Rory Gilmore fix. The rebels will pay for this indignity with mild concussions and severe bruising." Later, Grand Moff Tarkin quietly admitted to erasing Vader's DVR to get him to spend less time hiding out in his parabolic chamber, pouting over his missing piece of male genitalia.
"I grow tired of asking this, so it'll be the last time."
Tarkin also admitted to doing it just to be mean.
Reasonable.
Tonight's update has been brought to you by 1-800-EWOK-MEDS. Now you can have your Ewoks, flea, tick, and heartworm medicine delivered right to your door.
Yep, yep.
Remember, parasite-free Ewoks are much less likely to perform grooming customs, which often include pinching and eating insects off each other's fur. This has been a Holonet News Update. Good night, and good luck.
All right, Dan, thank you very much. As usual, sir,
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it's very entertaining as usual. And so, you know, we're going to dispense with just about everything else here. And we're just going to go with this. All right, so there's one more piece of podcasting equipment that I need to do a live show. A monitor. So you can hear what's going on. Yep.
Yep, you need a full monitor.
I could actually just use a set of computer speakers, theoretically.
Well, why don't you? Unprepared.
I don't
know.
I didn't want to de-hook everything. I figured, anyway. Well, whatever. Anyway, we are here at RipperCon 2011. And this is really going to be the meat of the show. We are going to just simply talk about Star Wars Saga and all of you fine people.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Yay. And there was much rejoicing.
Damn Skippy. Yay. Yes, indeed. So all of your experiences here in the last 3 days, Chris has been a tireless warrior running how many? Five slots?
Five slots of Star Wars, one slot of AUG.
So that's 24 hours of gaming for you. Running.
I'm tired.
Yeah, in 3.5 days.
I am very tired.
Yes.
My feet hurt.
Me, go!
You, go. We'll talk about that later.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so who wants to start?
Oh.
I'm going to say Rikoshi, you get to go first.
Okay, well, there we go. Oh, all right, where am I starting now?
Well, dude, talk to us about RipperCon, man.
Okay.
This is your first time, right?
This is my first time.
I mean, who else is the first time? Who else is speaking up?
First time right here.
All right, so Javinivora, Chris, Paul. Paul's first time as well.
My first time. Virgins.
Got all these RipperCon virgins.
Not anymore.
All right, let me... Not anymore. Oh. The RipperCon cherry has been popped.
But yeah, no, like I was actually, you know, I sort of, anyone who was on the forums, I sort of came down here on a whim.
Yeah.
I was listening to the show, I was like, man, like that sounds like a good time, I should come down, and everyone's like, do it, so I'm like, alright, I'm gonna do it, and I ended up here, and I, for about the first half hour being here, I was super nervous. I was like, what am I thinking coming down here, like, I don't know anyone here, I don't know, like, what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm completely, like, out of... All right, well, I knew you, but whatever.
Yeah, doesn't know anyone. I just moved to Texas 2 months ago. Gee, don't know anyone here at all.
Okay, but no, but anyhow, that all passed relatively quickly.
He was talking about people, Paul. Not
But no, so yeah, but...
Yes. I've met common mistake.
Yes.
But no, I've met a lot of cool people, 70% of whom appear to be named Chris.
The best name ever made by anyone. Score! Yeah. Score! Yeah. Fist bump. You missed fist bump action on the webcam. Okay. I apologize. Please continue.
But, no, yeah, and I sort of binged on a bit of Saga role-playing. I went through the whole Treasures of Destiny trilogy in order. Stuck it out. Sort of, went a little blind for a while and just sort of, like, blocking out the real world and just sort of, like, living in this... fit of gaming.
All of a sudden you have to go to the bathroom and you're hungry. It just happens.
But no, yeah, it's actually been a really cool weekend. It's going to feel weird going back to, like, real life after this.
Yeah. Okay, so what are your thoughts, both of you? I mean, what are your thoughts on the con? I mean, this is your first time. I mean, what are your impressions of the convention? This is an odd convention.
This is different. I've never been to a convention that has... really kind of had a gaming focus,
yeah.
and a miniatures focus. You guys are really hospitable. Every person I've interacted with here, really, really cool people. I will say flat out, the gaming groups that we've played with were probably the best pickup gaming groups I've ever played with. Ever?
Ever?
Yay. Ever.
Were?
And it was really exciting. I will be back next year. There's no doubt.
Yes.
I have to agree. I mean, walking in the door, you had this feeling like you were kind of intruding on a very close-knit family, a bunch of people who knew them, each other. And it was, like you said, for the first, like, couple of 30 minutes, it was a little putting off, like you weren't ready to dive into it. But then as soon as you started talking to somebody, they introduced you to somebody else, you got dragged into conversations, and then suddenly you were part of that big family. And it was a lot of fun. It was really amazing.
Very cool.
That was another Chris, by the way.
we're going through the Chris checklist.
The Chris checklist. Okay, so we have some con veterans here. Obviously, okay, Julian.
Bradshaw.
You guys have been to a couple of cons. You know, Julie, Darren, Julianne, Stephanie, Darren. You guys have been to several cons. I mean, so what keeps you coming back to Reaper? Why this con?
It's in my backyard. Oh wait, you want the political answer. Yes.
No, seriously.
Reaper Brian, that's why I come back. Come on.
Okay, why Reaper? I mean, aside from the fact he's like a sexy bitch, what?
Can I speak my own words? You said it for me.
Oh. That's because you and I are bonded like that. That's right. We just pinkied.
No, I came down here last year while I was traveling around the states, and out of all the conventions I've been to recently, I mean, it's really come down to Gen Con, Dragon Con, and now Reaper Con is added to that. I have to go every year. Dragon Con is a huge social event and more costuming than anything else.
Yeah.
Gen Con is competitive gaming and see what all is new and all that kind of stuff. And Reaper Con, it's hey, let's hang out and play some games. I got to throw props out to Reaper Con because last year you had to pre-register for games. And they thought about it, and they're like, you know, we don't want to charge for this anymore. Let's just, people show up and play. And though it was a little challenging, you had to be here early to play, to get into certain games, and there's a little, you know, table squabbling over that. But, you know, a lot of grunting later on AUG, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, it was a lot of grunting later. Everyone was happy. But, dude, yeah, I mean, they didn't charge for games this year. And they give out Reaper bucks when you play a game. So you pay to get in, you don't pay for the game, and you still get something you can turn into merchandise later. That's...
The auction, by far. It, all conventions need the auction.
It's pretty wicked.
Yeah. Would you imagine an auction at Gen Con?
They have it.
I mean, like this?
No.
Yeah.
Not like this. It wouldn't work. There would be fist fights.
Yeah, there would be no way.
There'd be no way.
So it'd be like the Fight Club of gaming?
That would be awesome.
You don't talk about Gen Con.
Yeah, no. Can't talk about it.
A bunch of nerd rage people slapping each other? Or what is that going to look like?
Purple nurples. Squealing, squabbling.
A bunch of foam weapons.
Boffer combat. It would be the ultimate in boffer combat.
Oh, wait. We already have that there.
We already have that there. That's pretty good. So, Julianne, okay. I mean, why do you come back to ReaperCon? What is it about this con for you?
Actually, I'm a painter.
Yeah.
This is
good. This is important. Talk about this. I mean, tell us.
I paint the Reaper miniatures. Yeah. I actually entered in the contest this year, and in my hot little hand here is a miniature that won a silver medal in the painting competition.
That is not easy. I would like everyone to understand that is the best painters in the country, in the world, come here.
Yeah. 2 years ago was my first ReaperCon, and I came primarily because... Reaper's my favorite miniature manufacturer, and they're close, and so it was a very easy drive from San Antonio, where I live, up here. And for that con, I primarily just took a lot of classes, hung out at the paint and take table, and this is when I met you guys on your first con.
Yeah.
Sat down on, I think it was your first Star Wars game here.
Yeah.
And I played the Wookiee.
I remember. What made you want to come RP Star Wars?
All right. This is a very, very long story. Let's just say, way back when, living in the beautiful land of Australia, I thought that role-playing was for, you know, the nerds that live in the basements and eat Cheetos and... pizza and Game of Funk.
That's often true, but it is, but not always.
Yeah,
that was my initial impression. None of this demonic crap or whatever. That was just is for the geeks. So come here. My boyfriend at the time would go off every Saturday to play D&D with a bunch of his friends, and so he was supposed to come home at 6 o'clock. He'd never come home at 6 o'clock. I get pissed
Games
off.
Never end on time. It never doesn't physically happen.
I'd get very annoyed at him not coming home.
You were that girlfriend.
I was that girlfriend.
Hey, don't worry about it. It happens.
When you're starting at 10 a.m. and then you go all the way to 6 o'clock and you think that they would have finished or at least come close to finishing by then.
That's not nearly enough time.
So then I grew fed up and started to come to this... person's house and just sit there and listen in and whatnot. And I was on a F1 visa going to school. At the end of my F1 visa, at the end of my schooling, I was doing it was supposed to be a 3-month period between finishing my internship towards starting my new job. During that time, I was sitting there going, I've got nothing to do for 3 months. You know what? I'll just join in. And so I started doing a Wednesday Star Wars game, in which I played a noble. And that was pretty much what hooked me. And
so, Saga?
No, this was the previous one.
Like RCR, OCR? Okay.
Yeah. And then this is what got me into miniature painting as well. My noble is a miniature. It was actually represented by a pole dancing Twi'lek, which was entirely opposite to what my noble had to represent it. So I was a little ticked off,
okay,
to say the least. And then we transitioned to another D&D game, and then my half-elf sorceress was shown to be a ghost. Actually, a wraith, dare I say. Just a wraith with one arm outstretched and just kind of flying off. I'm like, no, I can't do this. And so I went and looked, and you know, I stumbled across Reaper and taught myself how to paint and continued to game. And I think it was 8 months later, I started, as soon as 4.0 came out, I started DMing 4.0. And so it was we flip-flop. Friday nights we'd play Star Wars, on Saturday it was 4.0.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's wicked awesome.
Very nice. I also have radioactive dice that crit a lot.
Yeah, they do. Good God. She was playing, who was with her as a noble when she was playing as a noble? What, 30, 29, yeah. 29, 30, 35.
They weren't cheat rolls either. They were real rolls.
They were real rolls, yes. Those were, yeah, it was ridiculous.
That was my DM dice.
Okay, so you come back here because it gives you what you want. You want the painting, you want the minis, you want the role-playing sweetness.
Well, this particular time around, I mean, last time, like I said, I was focused entirely on the painting. This time around, I wanted to experience the other side of the convention. Yeah. And so, you know, jumped in on the games, sat and picked on the brains of the painters that were around, participated in the various crawls and whatnot. The only time I picked up a paintbrush was participating in a speed paint competition, and that was really the only time I wanted to. And that was, it was different. It was interesting. So it was very interesting and fun to have experienced really fully, completely both sides of the coin. And so next time around, hopefully next year, if schoolwork doesn't get in the way, I will be back again. Maybe not take it so much on the complete gaming side.
Aww.
I gotta let some people have the chance to step in.
Well, if things go well, we may have a lot more Star Wars sessions next year.
You had a lot of disappointed people. A lot of people turned up and said, is there any spots open? With, you know, this big eager smile on their face, and you're like, sorry, we're full, and they're like, aww.
We had people showing up a good, 2 and 3 hours early for tables, just getting in line and waiting, holding spots, because everybody wanted to be in on the Star Wars game.
Well, you warned us. You told us there were 8 people who asked you to hold a spot. And so
I did. Like, my Sunday game, all my friends came up to me and it's like, hey, save me a seat in your game. Save me a seat in your game. And 8 people did that. And finally, I was just, like, tracking them down. Look, I'm sorry. First come, first serve. Be there or be disappointed. Oh.
I showed up at 8:30, and Chris and Julianne were already here. And then by 8:55.
8:30?
Yeah.
The game started at 10, by the way.
Yeah. By 8:55, all the seats were taken.
God.
What, 45 minutes before the GM actually showed up?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I strolled in. Honestly, it was intentional. I didn't want to have to turn people down. I figured I'd let you guys duke it out. I'd come in. I'd find people sitting at the table with black eyes and stuff. And just, you know.
We were pretty brutal. We kicked a small child.
I was there for that. Because you, was it you had gone up or you had gone up? One of the two to go. You'd gone up to go grab a Coke, and this kid came up and he just sat in your chair. And he steps right there. He's like, all right, let's play Star Wars. And I'm like, I didn't say anything. The other players are like,
He was chatting for a while, so yeah. We just thought he was just talking and stuff. Yeah. And then we realized he wanted to play, and we're like, nope, sorry, dude.
Sorry, man.
Yep.
And even if you did, there's 2 other people ahead of you. So, okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, okay.
All right, so wait a second. What is this you allude to, that there may be more opportunities next year?
Well, we're still talking to Reaper about it, but Bradshaw, I mean, we have a dream.
a dream that was formed a year ago and is still coming together.
Still coming together.
In the shape of bounty hunters.
In the shape of bounty hunters. Star Wars bounty hunters. I'd really like to do this. So, last year, Radio Free Hamlet was out here, and they had the huge thing where it was a delve. And if those of you are RPG noobs, it's 1 hour, one encounter. You do it real time. If you can't complete it, you don't succeed. All right. And it was to kill a red dragon. All right. So nobody could do it. So after a while, Reaper Bryan and his awesome.
Oh, wait. Before you say nobody could do it.
Well, wait. No. At first, before this happened, nobody could do it. All right. So after a while, Reaper Bryan and his awesomeness came up, and he threw down several. God, what was it like
600 Reaper bucks.
600
per
Reaper
hour
bucks per
that
hour.
People could not succeed.
And it was just a building bounty. And it was Thursday and Friday. Nobody could defeat it. No one. And
then Captain. He's now Captain, by the way. Froberg.
Oh, dude, he got a promotion.
Yep.
Way to go, Froby. Froby won Kenobi for any of you guys who are old, you know, Living Force fanatics and.
We're hanging out at GM Chris's house, and Chris mentions this to us, and all of a sudden, Froberg goes, "Give me your computer." We had to download the tools to GM tools or whatever it was that Watsy had to create characters, and how long was he in there? Like 2 hours?
Four hours. My
creating characters.
Pissed, yes.
Came out. I'm ready. I just need a printer. We will defeat the dragon.
And it was your first try.
Second try. First try went in with six characters, and then he saw the error. Oh, this is what I did wrong. Here, we'll do these four. And the next slot, took them out. Dragon didn't stand a chance.
Yeah. So, and how many Reaper Bucks did you guys get off that?
3,000.
Yeah. Yeah, that was how much the bounty had built. So, what we're thinking about and what we'd like to do is create a series of encounter scenarios for Saga, all right, where it's a delve. You've got a group of baddies or one baddie you've got to take out. We'll publish character creation rules, even provide a few pre-gens, and each encounter, each delve, will have a bounty in Reaper Bucks that the party will split if you defeat it in 1 hour.
That sounds awesome.
That is.
I don't know. Does that sound reasonable?
That is cool.
Yeah?
Sounds fun.
Yeah?
Very reasonable.
Well, so, I'm not allowed to bring my dice.
Sure you can.
Sure you can.
We'll let you play the bounty.
Oh. So I know that's plans. What we're thinking about. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see when next year comes. But there's a fair amount of planning that needs to be done on that. That's a good amount of work.
So there you go.
So
GM Chris says it'll be here next year, and he's committed to it.
That's
great.
Okay. So all good.
Either way, it'll be fun. There'll be Star Wars here either way.
Yes, that's doubt. That is. Without a doubt. So, okay, should we talk Star Wars now?
Sure, why not?
Do you have anything else you'd like us to discuss, Program Director?
Not really.
You sure?
You know, no. I mean, we can talk Star Wars.
Actually, I'll just pop in for as a matter of perspective. Reaper Bucks is what you earn doing activities. You use them up in an auction on Sunday. We just actually finished about an hour or so ago. 3,000 Reaper Bucks would have probably getting you either a paint case or a mug or a poster.
If you get up to poster.
10,000 Reaper Bucks, you can design your own mini.
Yeah.
They have a number of options and you know, prizes and miniatures and stuff like that that they offer.
Okay,
which
so
you can spend these Reaper Bucks.
So let's segue into this. Let's pass around here. I mean, you all witnessed the auction, yes? All right, and Julianne's correct. There's some awesome stuff, and some of the penultimate prizes are pretty cool. If you guys got anything in the auction, you know, if you want to talk about it, what did you get, and why is it cool? But what did you think was the coolest thing in the auction? I'm curious. I mean, everybody, what did you think? Stephanie, what was up for you?
Well, I got, thanks to Darren, for 1,500 Reaper Bucks, I got a signed Deadlands RPG book. Signed by the creator.
By Shane Hensley, yes.
Or my husband, the Hob, who is a huge Deadlands fan.
Oh, I'm right there with him. I got to shake. So. I got to shake Shane's hand last night.
I know.
Oh, he was.
Sense,
I know. smells of shame and happiness.
And my husband would have been here, but he was home watching my newborn child, who I ditched to come to ReaperCon.
Did y'all do a roll off to decide who stayed with the kid, or how did you make that decision?
Do what now?
Was it a roll-off to decide who stayed or who came?
No, it was kind of one of those things. I let him have his regular gaming groups because, you know, I feel I want to stay home with the children. And so this was my weekend to come out, do all the gaming that I wanted to, and he was cool with that. And so here I came.
Dude,
that's a good man. Yeah.
That's a good man right there.
A very good man.
That's a
very
good man. It's like I'm gushing about my wife because she did the exact same thing for me.
Yeah,
it was like she just watched the baby for 4 days practically. I mean, she's here right now. She's off playing with Jaina, but yeah.
And in turn, I had 1350 in Reaper bucks, and then Darren lent me 150, and I got him a Dead Man's Buck.
Nice.
Thank you. So
very
you
nice.
You have to form that. You have to get together and pull together Reaper bucks.
Well, okay, so. So yeah, how do you get Reaper bucks? You get Reaper bucks by playing in events, okay, yes. Taking part in classes and seminars here. You know, I think it's basically for an RPG or a tabletop event. It's 50 Reaper bucks an hour per hour of the event. But the other big thing is that you can turn in, you could and can this year turn in Reap tabs, which are the sort of the UPCs off
you
of.
You can every year.
Well, I've been told
this
is the last year you're going to be able to do it. So if you have Reaper files that, you know, get all these blister packs and save their tabs, they can walk in the door with 10,000 Reaper bucks if they're hardcore enough. And so it becomes a real challenge. Well, as I've been told, this is the last year for tabs. So all future Reaper bucks will be from con attendance and everything you do. So I think the days of 10,000 Reaper buck auctions are going to go away.
But when you get 25 people...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's crazy.
True. Okay, so... Darren, auction. Favorite thing.
Favorite thing in the auction. Love Saga. Also love Pathfinder. There was a Pathfinder signed by all the designers.
Core rulebook?
No, it was the Ultimate Magic.
Oh,
I
okay.
I have the core rulebook from last year. I won that auction. So I know, right?
I
wanted to
win that auction.
I didn't win it, so I decided to help some people get what they wanted, so that was nice.
Very nice.
But, yeah. So, and hopefully there will be more than one... Star Wars GM next year, I'm thinking.
Uh-oh. Do we hear...
Well, yeah. You know, I've done a little bit of GMing, you know, won a few Iron GM competitions at Gen Con a few times and run the gauntlet.
So, you heard it here first. We're going to have...
Proposing a three-way?
We're going to have...
That's what that looks like.
No.
The draw.
Right? Yes. No more crunching.
That was very frightening.
Oh gosh. That would be epic.
So
basically we're going to have two GMs and multiple delves. Yep.
Well, and I
you're committed. Great.
I think actually what I'm committing to is I think I'm going to bring the trench run here.
Oh
Lord. That's even bigger.
I'm sorry. I just beat a little.
He's speechless. And he's wearing a kilt, so it shows.
I know. It's like dude, a utility kilt day. What?
Kilt?
Oh, we had what? How many utility kilts were there? I mean, God, it was four? What? Three? Four? That's amazing. yeah, so. That's very nice.
Next time, men, wear boxers. Seriously.
Yeah. Dude, you know.
If you wear anything underneath it, then it's a skirt.
Otherwise, it's a kilt. It's a utility kilt.
It's true.
All right. Daniel, Vendasora, what was your favorite thing in the auction?
I'm with Karen. I really wanted that Ultimate Magic signed by all four Pathfinder guys that were down here.
Very cool.
Unfortunately, I did not accumulate anywhere near the Reaper Bucks necessary. Yeah. So I had to watch in anguish as they went away to other people. But yeah. They had some pretty cool stuff.
They had some really cool stuff. I was very impressed.
One of the cool things, and it usually goes for a tremendous amount of Reaper bucks, is a design your own miniature for Reaper miniatures. Yeah. And that's just...
This year
it's kind
had,
of what I dream about, but I never...
Didn't they have two this
they
year?
Had four of them this year.
Four?
One of them, Wayne Reynolds, the artist that did the artwork for Sophie the Succubus this year.
And also Pathfinder and D&D and Reaper Art and everything.
And the guy that called Chris a dick off the top of the show.
Yeah. Wayne is awesome. He's such a cool guy.
They also had a Build Your Own Mouse Guard mini.
Hey, Wayne.
So the little mice mini that they came out with.
In case people don't know, Sophie is like the ReaperCon
mascot.
So, yeah.
So they had four this year. They had him doing one,
and instead of it being like general, just to hear build your own mini, this year they went, the specific artist is going to design your mini.
Oh.
So and I saw him
Wayne,
meeting with
it was
someone.
Gene Van Horn, I think. There was a Mouseling, design your own Mouseling with
yeah.
the Brian Bucks.
Another one. I don't remember
I don't remember the other one.
Talon.
All right, so get this. I was talking to one of the guys back here. You know Mouselings were not intended to be used with Mouse Guard?
Yeah.
But apparently Mouse Guard's, the sales of the RPG Mouse Guard has gone up by like 48% because Reaper made these things.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Synergy.
Yes.
Synergy.
Symbiotic relationships.
Okay, that's wicked. Okay, so... All right, Chris. Well, favorite thing in the auction?
I mean, well, definitely the design of the minis were really cool. You know, there were other things though. There were mini carrying cases, and you got to have your foam custom, custom cut up here, and you know, a ton of signed books. But the iPod cases and the iPad cases with the Reaper logo on it were really cool too.
And this, I know, Bradshaw, you got
what you
like
got
that?
One? Did you
I scored one. It's got Sophie the Succubus in a Tomb Raider pose. All sexy and done up by Wayne Reynolds. And signed on the inside. I got mine signed while he was here.
Very nice.
Yeah, Wayne was so cool. He was like, you'd bring up your art. He'd be like, hey, dude, you made this. Can you sign it? He's like, yeah, sure. Favorite thing in the auction, Julian?
I only wanted one thing, and that was the new high-definition paints. And I got in very early on the auction and managed to snag it for, what was it, $2,600?
What makes a paint high-definition?
It is their new line.
Is it
supposed
3D?
To have no. It's supposed to have very to superior coverage.
Oh, okay.
It has the same. The thing is with the Master Series paints, the original ones, they are meant to be used for a lot of more advanced painting techniques like layering, glazing, blending, all that kind of stuff. The high definition stuff is meant to be like a substitute if you want to do like army painting or if you want to. Quickly put down something like a base coat or whatever. It's meant to be that. So I've got an army commission coming up, so I needed to get my hands on this, and red is notoriously difficult to paint, and that's what I'm going to be utilizing. So
thanks.
I was very pleased with my 2,600 grab, considering that the set 2 ended up going for 5,000.
Ah.
So I was a little ecstatic on that, considering what was my budget? 2,850.
Oh.
But see, I reckon the blankets will come.
Not really being a painter, I understood about half of what you said, but I'm happy you're happy.
I'm glad.
Very glad.
Well, you know, that was one of the best parts about coming to ReaperCon, because I painted my first mini here this weekend.
Oh!
And now, of course, it looks like crap, but, you know, hey.
It was gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You learn. Okay, Bradshaw?
I'd have to say the item that I most coveted, but unfortunately I had to settle for the iPad case, was the blanket of the Sophie the Succubus.
Okay, that was hilarious.
That was insane.
That was, how much did it go? That was the highest 11, ticket 000. Item.
11,000.
11,000
Reaper
bucks?
11,000 Reaper bucks.
Okay. And you guys can go to ReaperMini.com and you can see the logo that Wayne did. It is, what, sensual? Okay, to say the least.
They did mention the blanket is machine washable.
Yes.
And she will keep you warm.
She will keep you warm. And the blanket is machine washable. So, yeah, that was a huge blanket with the yeah, that was funny. That was hilarious.
Okay, see, now, all right, one of the things I was considering, like, oh, do I have enough to get one of these design-your-own-minis things? And I was looking at what I had. I was like, probably not. And seeing how much they ended up going for, I'm glad I didn't hold out. So as mentioned before, I ended up getting the two free admissions for next year's ReaperCon.
Also, they auctioned. I mean, to clarify, they auctioned off a
yes,
a certificate.
It's a certificate to admit to. I have it right here. I can hold it up for the camera if they can see it over there. It's okay. We're gonna get.
Oh
it
Paul's moving over to the camera.
Can they see the typo on there that they had to have Brian sign over on which year it's for?
Actually, the underwriting specifies that it's for ReaperCon 2012. If you see there, so it's all good. And I spoke to Brian about it already. It's all been sorted. But looking at sort of how it went down, it's like, so basically, by coming here and spending a whole weekend playing Star Wars, I accumulated enough Reaper bucks to come back and do it again next year.
That's a bargain.
I know. And it's just like, so basically, by coming to ReaperCon and hanging out there, I get to come back to ReaperCon? Like, all right.
And bring a friend.
Well, actually, it was the two of us who had to pull it together in order to afford it. But so it sort of works out.
Actually, your Reaper bucks don't transfer. They only stay for this year.
No. I mean, we pooled our two together to be able to come back.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Right, but I thought it was hilarious because as the auction started coming to a close and you know people had all these Reaper bucks that they couldn't spend on anything anymore. I think like a mug went for like twice as many Reaper bucks as this did. So I'm like, okay, it's sort of a fascinating example of capitalism in action with supply and demand there.
Because you have to spend the Reaper bucks, so that's why
the
mug will go for like 3,000.
And if you only got a few hundred left, you'll give them to somebody because you know you're not going to spend them.
Yeah.
Say hello, Reaper Brian.
Hello, Reaper Brian.
How are you doing, Reaper Brian?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been a good show.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Are you finally catching a bite? You've been working like a dog?
Yeah, I'm actually finally able to stop for lunch.
Fantastic.
All right.
I'd like to note to Gamer Nation, it is what, 5 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
I think it's officially dinner now.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I've had to stop for dinner.
Very nice. Very nice. So, okay, Paul.
Yeah, pretty much I thought the mini auctions were really attractive. Didn't have enough, and we've enjoyed the con so much. I think Ricky and I wanted to pull together for that that two emission, and I wanted to make sure he came back to Texas next year.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you got it. That's
yeah, so we're glad we got that.
Yeah, free admission to ReaperCon. Now we only need to drop another $250 to fly out here to go to it.
It's worth it.
No, it totally is. This trip has absolutely been worth it. I've had a blast, and not just because it was crazy and impulsive of me, but because you know, I actually legitimately had a really good time this weekend. I'm glad I made the decision. Thank you.
Yeah, it was first time in 5 years he and I have gotten to actually play Saga together.
Wow.
Yeah, we both GM because we're like the only people qualified enough Star Wars nerds to. Run a Star Wars game that we can tolerate.
All right. Yes. Yes. Very nice.
Well, because no, I know a lot of really great gamers. You know, with my local group, a lot of really good GMs, but none of them have like the right flair to really do Star Wars right. And really, like you know, us Star Wars nerds. If you don't do it right, we go into a nerd rage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a Wookiee rage.
No. Well, no. But like
nerd smash.
I mean, no Star Wars is better than bad Star Wars. So, I mean, and...
Some people, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell that to Lucas?
Oh! We've tried.
Oh. They said no Star Wars is better than bad Star Wars. Just somebody tell that to Lucas.
I think they just ended the discussion. I don't think I can answer that.
Okay.
Hey, guys, real quick, Julianne and I have to go. We got a 5-hour drive. So
oh, get out of here, guys.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot. Going to definitely try to be back here next year.
It was really cool playing with you guys.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys.
Very nice seeing you guys.
Me, you, go. Yes.
Yes, you, go. Bang. Go bang thing.
Shiny.
Shiny. Sleep thing.
You, go. Bang.
You, me.
We'll come to that. Okay, then. If you've got to go, you've got to go. But we have a question for you. We're talking about the Reaper auction. I noticed something last year that was conspicuously absent this year.
What's that?
The Infinite Reaper Buck.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about the Infinite Reaper Buck and what's up with this.
Well, now last year we offered the Infinite Reaper Buck, and it was the item that... You could bid on it, and it was worth infinity, but you couldn't get change. So the next time, the next auction, or the next item you wanted, you could just go, I bid infinity, and you just automatically won. Nobody could outbid you, but it was spent. So it was basically the I win button, and it was a way to get a large number of Reaper Bucks out of circulation early in the auction so that you didn't have there at the end the escalation where suddenly the last seven items are all going for 20,000 bucks each. And because that gets a little crazy after a while. It slows. It bogs things down with the counting, and then the bidding takes forever when you're going up in increments of 10 and you're getting to 20,000 every time. So
yeah.
We didn't do that this year because it hadn't performed as it didn't do what I'd wanted it to do, and what I'd wanted it to do was speed up the auction, and it really just put a slow part at the front as well as at the back. So we decided not to go with that. Likewise, I think we do the special Reaper Brian Buck next time, where last year or this year it was worth $1. I think next year we're going to go ahead and have it be worth a significant amount, probably just $100 or $500 or something, so that. after that part of the auction is over. You're not stuck with a bunch of ones you're not going to use.
Yeah. Very interesting. I thought the Reaper Brian book was an interesting mechanic. And for those not aware, like you guys gave them to us GMs and those, you know, other folks, and we were encouraged to hand them out for behavior becoming of Reaper Brian.
Yeah, anytime you'd tell somebody else thank you, the idea was you'd say thank you and give them a Reaper Brian buck.
Yeah, anytime somebody helped me carry all my stuff or got me
food or a drink. That's not true.
Oh, but you're you. Wow.
No love for documentary girl.
That is not in the spirit of Reaper Brian, I don't think.
I know. Hey.
That's why Chris didn't have any.
That's why I didn't have any, see? There you go. There you go. It was pretty good. It's been fun. So, okay, let's talk Star Wars. All right, so...
Let's.
Okay, the first thing I want to do, because the best way I've done this in the past is you all sat and played with me, all right? We ran through the three modules of Treasure of Destiny. We ran through Secret of the Curling Kaidok, Treasure of Abin Mur, and the Eyes of Kessel. I think most of you went through at least two or three of them. Some of you won. but, favorite moments... We all had those epic scenes that you were witness to. Fight for it here. What favorite moments do we have, and what was the best thing you recall?
See, I have two favorite moments, which is really difficult. So I'm going to tell you both of them. My first one is my top favorite moment now is watching Ralph or
the Wookiee.
Yeah. All I see is the butt of this Wookiee running down the hallway, waving us on because Ralph Forrest found out his one true love, Mon Mothma. The destiny of destinies is on the Kessel platform and is now being put in danger. So that was my first favorite.
Okay, so who was playing Ralph Forrest in that session?
That would be me, documentary girl. And actually, two of the three sessions... We've played Walfer and the Scoundrel, so...
That's right. We've played Dak and Ralfer together for two of our three sessions.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
We've. This is long-standing. You know, I helped... My character helped Ralfer... Dak helped Ralfer find the tuxedo appropriate and comb the fur so it was just right. And spent long hours trying to coach Ralfer on how to properly approach a human. And
yes.
Okay, so...
So that was your first.
That was your first.
My second favorite was we ran through the first one, and we were playing with Vicky Keith. And
this is Darth Jaina y'all are hearing on the mic, by the way.
Nice. Darth Jaina's way cute. She has, like, a serious Sith power of cuteness.
gave me a hug.
And it's basically watching... GM Chris toss laser bolts after laser bolts of area effect fire at Vicky's Jedi character, and the Jedi character just sits there and is just whirling the blades, and blaster fire is bouncing off. And
I worked hard, man. I worked hard trying to come up with a way to just pwn those Jedi, because I knew in the latter two modules there's no force using threats, and there is in the first. And of course, the best way to deal with the Jedi is a Sith. Okay, there's no better way to deal with them. So I mean, I was area attacking them nonstop, multiple crossfires and all that. And I was like, yeah, -5, -10. Oh, Vicky, you're at a -15 on that deflect roll. Natural 20. Go great.
So those are my two favorites.
Those are your two favorites?
That's it. That's all I got.
I don't know. I think I can beat that, actually.
Okay.
When we were playing the second module.
Okay, this is the Treasure of Abin Mur.
Right. The Imperials had found our secret alliance base, and we were escaping. Mon Mothma's ship was being followed by a Star Destroyer.
Oh, that's right.
So, the guy, Chris, who just left, who was playing Rawfor at the time...
That's right.
...decided to abandon all safety, let his starship drift, and put two concussion missiles... into an asteroid. By the way, quick aside, the asteroids that Jawas Ate My Jedi ended up making.
Yeah, were you playing that game? Did you guys play with the asteroids? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Jawas Ate My Jedi Rey. You know,
Gosh, you all know him from the forums. He made these incredible asteroid terrain for me. It just looked phenomenal. And, God, it just, I don't know, man, that just made it pop. That made that whole encounter pop.
Between the asteroids and the music, and it really felt Star Wars. It was awesome.
Very cool.
But back to the story, the Rothmore saw that Von Rothmore was in danger. So he fired two concussion missiles into this asteroid, knocking it into the Star Destroyer, pretty much knocking it completely out of the encounter from that moment on.
Wait, so the characterization of him being obsessed with Mon Mothma continued?
It carried through at some point. But, you know, it was like, so, you know, in the beginning of the second module, when you guys are on the asteroid base, you're visited by Mon Mothma and the Imperials attack, you know, the goal is, and that encounter can take so long because, you know, you tell players, okay, your goal is to get Mon Mothma's ship to the other side of the map and escort her. Players become obsessed with, I have to kill everything on the map. And it's like, you know, no. So in this one, you guys did a great job. They really took hold. They were like, they were tactical, and they were just like, you know what? No, just avoid him. No, take her around. And it was very, you know, get her to the other side of the map. And so there was at the edge of the map and a Star Destroyer, and it was providing mostly tactical fire. But, you know, they were doing so well. I mean, they were literally just pwning the encounter. They were destroying the encounter. I was like, you know what? Let's have some fun. And listen, let me get this straight. Okay, you guys were with CL-7 for that, and the Star Destroyer is a CL-20 itself. Okay, so I wasn't using it. It was just providing tactical fire as a hazard. Okay, so I figured, what the heck? I'm just going to let it start attacking. So I brought it into combat, and it started attacking Mon Mothma's ship and their ships and stuff. And, you know, for their ships, it's got to roll an AT-20, but still. And they managed to survive. But, yeah, it was blocking off Mon Mothma's escape, and... Yeah, gosh, Chris is playing the Wookiee. He just let his shift drip, used double attack, fired two concussion missiles, but his payload went entirely into the asteroid. What did he hit? What did he end up having to hit to do that? I made it really
you made him hit
25.
Yeah, and he hit like a 27 or something.
Yeah,
and then he rolled like something like it was like a total of like 164 damage.
Yeah,
and it was crazy.
It was ridiculous, and so it was so epic. You know, I was like, you know what? This might not be realistic, but it's so cool. So he pushed the asteroid into the Star Destroyer to force it to move so they could have a way out. It was...
You know why I did the whole characterization? It was for the Reaper Bucks. Because when you sat down, he goes, I picked the Wookiee. I was like, okay, you know, it sounds pretty cool. And you said, you get extra Reaper Bucks if you can come up with some like really great role-playing. And I was like, well, I can't speak like a Wookiee, so I've got to come up with something. And it just flowed naturally. I had the scoundrel sitting beside me. So my favorite moments were, especially in the first part, because it felt like Star Wars to have the Wookiee and the scoundrel have this sort of banner. Yes, yes, I know. Yes, she's very lovely. And, you know, those kind of little humorous moments. And you didn't really necessarily get to have a lot of those later on. But and the third one, anytime Mon Mothma was around, there was, you know, I was a very impatient Wookiee in the third one.
You were. And, like, so the third module, you know, you're at the end of the second one, the party's captured by the Empire, right? And they're sent to the Spice Mines at Kessel. And the entire third module takes place there. So at the end, you discover that Mon Mothma's been captured and, you know, at the very end of the module. And the way you played the Wookiee reacting was so epic. You know, you ran, you know, when you finally saw her, you just abandoned all hope. Didn't matter what enemies were in your way, you just ran.
I wanted to break open the lockers to get my stuff out. As soon as I loaded everything back on, I was gone. With the scoundrel running behind me, wait, you know. That was good stuff.
Sweetness. Okay, other favorite moments? You three?
Oh, God. You know what our moment is. So we're in the third module, and we're doing the trains. We have these, you know, jetpack troopers that are coming after these dark troopers.
Yes. So they had death troopers with jetpacks
as the
captains for the BBEG.
It burns.
Yeah, and they're flaming, and you know we're jumping between trains, and I played Grio Gruda, the scout through the entire three modules.
Rodian sniper,
and I loved playing that character. It was a lot of fun, and. The Noble and I are still on our train, and these two jetpack troopers are just giving us terrible trouble. So about at the same time, Chris and I come up with the same idea.
Yeah. Grappling
we
spike
shoot
launcher.
Our grappling hooks into the two jetpack guys, and we hook them to our train.
And you both rolled. I was like, yeah, okay. And you both rolled really well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Really well.
Right. And the next round, she goes down.
Yes, the noble yeah. Got knocked unconscious.
Yeah, and
it happens.
It happens. And I'm like, nope, not leaving anybody behind.
While on fire.
Grill runs up, grabs her, jumps to the other thing, and shoots the console and makes the guy run.
The emergency brakes and the train you had tied these two jetpack dudes who just stops. Yeah. And the train you'd moved to was going like 40 squares around. And so they just go, whoop, and just whoop.
Yeah,
and go
yeah.
flying. That was
it. Was totally Star Wars. It was really cinematic. Absolutely, probably my favorite moment next to the asteroid situation with the two concussion missiles.
Okay, you know what's fun is the fact that technically that's not my favorite. Actually, I mean it was a good one today, but maybe because I was unconscious during the ending of it, maybe not my highlight. But
we tried.
Trains were involved.
We tried.
In the second one, there's a train chase or a train. Yeah. You're running in one train though. And we had an explosion. The Wookiee falls out and barely catches a hold. And the scoundrel that I was playing in that module, I actually played a different character in each module. The first one I played the Wookiee, the second one the scoundrel, and the third one the noble.
Right.
And the scoundrel, I've got the grappling spike launcher out, one of my favorite toys. I swing down, grab the Wookiee, and everybody's like, you're not going to be able to do this. I pull off the roll and swing the Wookiee back onto the train.
And that was excellent. That was like Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was
nice.
Very good.
Yeah, so those were my two favorite moments, I think.
Okay, so I was actually in like all three modules this weekend as well. I was I was also present for the grappling spike maneuver and the
grappling spike event.
I was present for the throw the asteroid into the Star Destroyer, which that Starship combat like by itself was probably one of my highlights. I think that encounter went really well. Knowing that a Star Destroyer like needs to roll a nat 20 to hit you, like it's still really tense when it's attacking you at all, and it's still like firing like four or five attacks around. It's like one of these might come up, like pretty like it's a pretty decent chance,
and
so it's still pretty harrowing.
That.
Oh yeah, but so I do sort of have two moments that stand out for different reasons. One is towards the end of Secret of the Curling Kitehawk, where we're on the asteroid base. And I'm playing Kari Valor, the like Jedi duelist, like lightsaber badass. And you know, we've got the Imperials are trying to flood out the hangar bay while they're sort of like safely like trapped in their own little room. And so I'm like, all right, like I'm gonna like you know jump up, you know, like an X surge, like do this jump, you know, like two lightsabers, you know, ignore DR, just cut my way in through. This like simple, you know, glass encased room.
And just to clarify, the party is in a hangar bay for TIE fighters. There is an energy field, a shield, which is keeping the atmosphere in. You know how the Imperial hangar bays have that little glass encased room up top. You know,
yep.
The officers are in there. They shut the door and immediately start a decompression sequence. They're just going to blow the PCs mm-hmm. and the rest of the stormtroopers that are in the encounter just out of the airlock, basically, and into vacuum. So
yeah, so that's it, and I'm just get up there, you know, break my wind, and then suddenly, like now, you know, they have to either you know shut this off or they're getting sucked out as well. Like, I make a really awesome roll to activate surge. I make a really awesome jump check. Natural one on my charge attack.
Yeah.
It was like, what do I need to roll to hit this? I'm like, it's a piece of glass. Just don't roll a one.
Yeah. And of course, what happens? I roll a one.
And so because you maxed out your surge,
mm-hmm.
and then your jump check was like a 45
yeah.
or something like that. And you did this flying leap with cartwheels and just slammed into the glass, and the face stretches you went down with the...
It's like the Windex commercial.
The Windex commercial.
Yes, and my other quick moment is at the very end of that one, where you have the Sith Lord and his apprentice, and this was actually Darren playing Dak, you know, manages... He takes out the Sith Lord, and the apprentice, like, he's like, Master! And he just turns and he's like, your master's a bitch.
Absolutely.
I was just like, that. Like that's like just like one of those moments that you wouldn't get in real Star Wars, but you know, it just felt so right for what had just happened.
It felt good. Your master was my bitch, is what I said.
Okay.
But yeah,
okay, that still works.
That's fantastic.
You know, I think the other natural one that I think was most exciting was Grill missing the guy.
Oh, right.
In the train chase in the second module, and rolling a natural one, and he hit the bomb.
So So I mean, there's a sort of train robbery kind of style adventure in the second encounter, real combat encounter in the second module, and there's a bomb on board, of course. And there was a thug using it for cover, and you know, the sniper took a shot at him, and you know, yeah, rules is written, a one is just a natural miss, but you guys were doing well, we were having fun, so it's like natural one, huh? You hit the bomb, and basically it ended up, I think they had six more rounds before the bomb detonated. You sped up the timer, so you guys had two more rounds before the bomb detonated.
But it always stops at one on the film.
but then how you guys dealt with it was amazing to me, because you have some players that are on the roof of the train, okay, which there's these skylights where you can kind of see in through the roof in certain intervals. The Jedi Force Savant is up there dealing with some bad guys, and they have two rounds left. The Wookiee runs in, pulls off a DC 20 strength check, and rips the bolted bomb out of the floor of the train car as like a move and standard. That was his action. And then he didn't know what to do. One more round, the bomb was going to explode. The Force user on his turn sees it through the skylight, line of sight within six squares, reaches down, lifts the bomb up, and hurls it out the window of the tram. That was brilliant.
See, you can roll a one and still have it happen to be fun.
Yes.
Oh, yes, because I stormed. The Wookiee stormed the... What was his name?
Captain... Russick.
Russick,
yeah.
Russick.
Storms him because, of course, that was the person. And Mon Mothma's hanging off the side of the train, so he's really freaking out now. And now he's on fire, too. And so... Flaming Wookiee right there.
I just say what this must sound like out of context. Like, yes. I think like all of us in the circle know exactly what you're talking about, but it's just like, wait, what?
Yeah. But I take a swing, you know, to finally just kill him, and I roll. Did I roll another one?
Yeah, how that happened was Captain Russick had smacked Mon Mothma around.
The Imperial BBEG.
Yeah, the Imperial bad person. Smacked Mon Mothma, and of course, immediately made you feel what for your character?
Oh, complete and total rage! I did a double move just to get right up to him. Yeah.
And then you whiffed. You whiffed. A wiffle ball bat. That's what happened, and somebody lit you on fire like a Roman candle.
That was yes.
But we ended up. I did take him out. Just took another round.
It was duly epic. Yes. It was duly epic. I loved. Okay, one of the first combat encounters in the third module is in the spice mines of Kessel, where you guys are having to go in and deactivate an oxygen generator in part of a daring escape attempt. And they get ambushed by a spice spider, which I made the stats up for. Really, honestly, I beefed up an Acklay and gave it a few new abilities. Best thing to do, of course, as we've said in Star Wars, is to take what's already there, reuse it, especially when you're building new stuff. So the Acklay's attacking them. I made it a lot more powerful, but I also gave it a really nasty weakness. Okay. Now, here's the best part. So, you guys, so Bradshaw, you were in this. You two were in this too, I believe.
I'm the reason you're talking about this.
Yes, you're the reason. You're the reason we're talking about this. So, who played Force users? I know
me.
You played a Force user,
and Chris, who just left.
Who just left played a Force user. So the Force user is very powerful. Obviously, they're in Kessel. They've been imprisoned with these collars around their necks that stun them into unconsciousness when they try to use the Force. Okay, and all the other PCs have them too. So if they get out of line, you know, they just get stunned into unconsciousness, pretty much.
Which the Wookiee did.
So you know, you guys are trying to find a way to disarm these things. They don't have Force use. They're having to go as so. Even though that without that, you guys are going down to try and disable this oxygen generator to escape. You talk to a black marketeer in the prison and got some I can get you some weaponry, you know, or a toolkit. Yeah, and they go down there, open this crate, expecting the Wookiee's like, is there blasters? Are there any grenades? Is there dynamite? I was like, no, there's pickaxes, shivs, and a couple handmade spears. And so they end up having to defeat this CL-11 beast.
Oh wow!
With simple weaponry and no Force abilities. The way I accounted for this was the thing had an extreme sensitivity to bright light, and I included six glow rods in the kit.
Fresh was shaking his head.
So So, if you guys, I mean, if anyone familiar with the EU for Kessel, the two commonly known species in the mines are the spice spiders and the bogies, which are these little energy beings the spiders feed on, but they really disrupt machinery equipment. So the module was written in mind for the fact that the PCs would discover this and go seek out bogies and have the bogies use them to deactivate their collars. And so this group figured it out immediately. They figured it out the instant the bogies appeared in the mines, and they were attracted to the flashlights, all right? And so, okay, we strap all of our flashlights together, and we turn them on. And it was the noble, Bradshaw, who said, all right, I hold them up next to me. Basically, you're going to try and draw the bogies to the flashlights and then take out your collar, which worked, but it also took out the flashlights. All six flashlights. So you guys didn't have the tools needed. Okay, the other players, you saw how effective the flashlights were.
Somebody used it as a suppressing ability.
I thought it was someone suggested it. It was like, can I, you know, it's not an attack roll, but can I use my flashlight to aid another to suppress it? And I'm like, I think that's a brilliant idea, considering. Go ahead and make your ranged attack
roll.
That's
a good idea.
And it was a great idea. And so I was like, oh, God, they're going to die.
Very beginning of the module.
Like, you guys, gross that encounter.
You know, I've never played a noble before, and it was one of the few times where every ability on the character sheet got some use, whether it was... After we had one round of combat, and this thing's beaten up on us pretty good, the Jedi had ran up and grabbed a hold of it, and then messed with his shock collar to try to shock through himself into the spider.
Oh, that was fun!
Which backfired.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you. Yeah. Yes, that was fantastic.
It didn't work. It was a cool idea.
Well, hey, its damage threshold was too high.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I've got an ability that it once an enemy damages me, everybody gets a free pot shot, and now everybody's right in range. So I ran up.
The stand tall feat.
On purpose, knowing that I was going to get an AOO just from running through its space, got hit, and I was like, all right, free for all. Everybody gets a free shot.
Yep. Five attacks. Boom, 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 boom. And I think the Wookiee critted.
Yeah. Except I held because I wanted to use the aim action.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which came into play in the next round.
It did come into play.
What, three rounds it was done?
Yeah, yeah. It was three or four rounds. You guys, and it had 140 hit points. You guys had it down in like four rounds. It was disgusting.
I think the neat thing about that encounter, though, is the fact that we went into it without any familiar weapons, any familiarity of what we're used to fighting in, and we adapted to the combat, which was fun.
Okay, so now I want to ask you about that. For those of you who played that third module, okay, I mean... I was really worried as a GM trying to write this. You know, I don't want to jerk the players around. I don't want to come up with something they can't handle or that they're not going to find fun. And I was taking away, one, you're in prison. You have none of your weaponry, okay? And I wanted to have the first encounter be at a disadvantage. I figured by the second and third encounter, you'd have your primary abilities back. What's the point otherwise, right? But, I mean, did it go too far? I mean, were the Force users nerfed too much? Was it too difficult? I mean, how did you feel about that?
In other words, was Wayne right?
Was Wayne right? Was I a dick?
No, I think for our group, anyway, the most difficult part was the 45 minutes or so that we were trying to decide which direction we wanted to go initially, like which problem we wanted to solve first.
Okay.
And then once we got that direction, then it was fine. The encounter wasn't too tough or anything like that. It was fun,
yeah,
but not, oh, God, we're all going to die, kind of, as they were.
Oh, God, we're all going to die?
Yeah.
Okay, now... Rikoshi, you played one of the Force users. I mean, yeah. Were you pissed off? Was it...
Actually, I really liked the way it was handled because, you know, I had played, you know, it was me, Paul, and Vicky. We had played the same three characters through the whole trilogy.
That's right.
And so by this point, like, I was actually, like, really into, like, both my character and the scenario. And, like, you know, we have, like, this, like, you know, prison break thing. So I'm like, all right, like, I'm pretty familiar with, like, you know, at least my own mental conception of, like, all right, this is how my character acts. This is sort of, like, you know, things. And it's like, all right, like, now it's, like, the sort of, like, you know... And this character specifically, Kari, like, she's basically built to be a lightsaber duelist, and that's all. Like, that's what she's really good at.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot else. And so it's just like, well, okay, it's like, all right, I've got, you know, stuff, you know, like acrobatics and like that sort of thing. And so it's like, all right, like trying to, like, you know, think, you know, creatively. Like, a lot of my ideas didn't actually, like, work, but I appreciated the chance to not just I kill it with my lightsaber.
All right, I'm gonna make a touch attack and then just yank on my collar and try and shock it. I'll take the shock too. It did not work.
So one of the things about the prison scenario, and I've been through these in different, and in fact, in a Star Wars game before, one of the things is you're sort of forced with these impossible odds.
Yeah.
And you took this with in the aspect of a skill challenge to try and escape. And
yeah.
I thought that was really well done. That made it less frustrating. I mean, you're stuck in a prison with all these things, these guards, these impossible situations. But at least with the skill challenge, you felt like you were able to affect how things were going.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. If I hadn't been tracking the successes and failures in front of you, if I hadn't mentioned it, would you have known it was a skill challenge?
No.
No.
Not immediately.
Not immediately.
Yeah.
Right, Johnny?
Yeah. As a GM, yeah. Okay. I was kind of picking up on that, but it was just, we weren't failing at the same time, though, so it wasn't obvious until all of a sudden we weren't getting anywhere with the ideas that we had.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think we knocked out, like, 6 successes before we even got 1 failure, and it was just like, oh, okay.
Well, you guys went through the primary skills, and after that I was forcing you to use other things.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, and get creative, and that's kind of how the skill challenges work. You guys did a fantastic job, because, I mean, you managed to organize a prison riot, get weaponry, find a way to the surface. I mean, you accomplished, like, find your gear, where it was located, and learn of a natural way to deactivate your collars, you know, all in one skill challenge. It was a SEAL 9, complexity 2. Yeah, you guys did great.
Escaped where no one has escaped before.
Escaped where no one has escaped before.
The Rock.
By the way, the Hav texted hello to everyone.
Oh, hello, Hav.
Just the see, Hav got on the show somehow.
Hav got on the show somehow.
Yep.
He's not going to let it lie.
Hello, Hav.
Okay, Dave, you were watching some of the game that was being played. I mean,
I was.
I mean, what, as an observer, not a player, I mean, what? Because we had a lot of people watching. Obviously, as we talked about, there was people that couldn't get in. What stuck with you?
For my first thing, the fight in the hallway on Saturday night, that was the first thing. The four guys that we had to whittle down to 2 to get into the game. That was sad. You know, I hated to see the cops.
Oh, the fist fight in the hallway at Reaper.
Yeah.
Okay,
I hated to see the cops, you know, but, you know, it was necessary.
He's joking.
Yeah, I'm joking. Everybody was very gracious that didn't get into the game.
Yes, everyone was very gracious and understanding. The only one, I feel bad, the only person who, like, really came to me, like, 5 times to ask, and it was like, I'll try and get in, was Ray.
Yeah.
Jose, my Jedi, he couldn't get into one of the games, and I was like, ah! Because I was like, dude, just get here early on Sunday, and they had issues in the morning, they came in late, they didn't get here till after 10. I felt so bad.
But he did get in on Og, which was epic.
Yeah.
Okay, so
but anyways,
let's talk about Og.
Okay, oh, hold on.
Are you
since I never got to answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
You know.
Okay.
Good job, Whit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a GM for you, right? He's moving the game along. All right, so my basic, and just about everybody standing around the table, same basic thought, is that everything you could see in Star Wars, everything was had a cinematic aspect to it. Everything had the look and feel of Star Wars so much that it was immersing even the spectators, like they were watching something out of the EU, or, you know, whatever. And I thought that was, especially the train thing. That was my favorite deal, is watching you guys do the train thing. And I got to see a couple of different groups go through the train thing. So I got to see one group that didn't do so well, and then one group that knocked it out. I mean, bam.
Well, like the session today, what?
Yeah, today they just flat knocked it out. I mean, bye. See you later. You know, last
it was,
night.
It was like, what? It was like 5 rounds, 6 rounds. Yes. The counter was done.
That's true love. A Wookiee loves a Mon Mothma.
I know.
And
I know, that's
all
what
right.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
last night the group had a problem. One of them went down. One of and
that was a 10, 12 round combat.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough,
nobody
but it was
could
still
touch the big bad evil. You know, he was just nasty.
And it was this time we had good rolls, but they were working. They were combining fire. They were working very well together. The problem was you went down. The noble went down in yours.
Yeah,
and
that was the key right there, because they were all using their bonuses today. And they were all at a +3 to hit. And so when you went down, sayonara, right? So, yeah. I mean, it made it tougher. They still obviously
I still
beat
love the
encounter.
Discussion after the fact, because we ended up, somebody knocked them off of the train.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, we didn't want to. Oh, wait.
See you later.
Cold salad. You guys smell burnt.
It was Rikoshi, wasn't it?
Who was playing Dak?
In the
but it was whoever was playing Dak did it.
Yeah. Leave it to the scoundrel.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right. After you guys drop the baby, I pick him up and throw him over the side of the train.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, we don't do that. I'm like, it's done.
Sorry.
In our session, Darren, did you even hit anyone? Because I don't think I had Rolfor hit anyone. I think I had a check to jump onto the other train, fur flying everywhere. And then I just beelined it for some other people took out the...
I actually killed one of the jetpack guys. I went kind of... My character went kind of crazy. Dak was dual shooting the blaster pistols, making sure things got really difficult.
John Woo style.
And because they were pretty much, John Woo style.
Oh, my favorite line is after you did a dual weapon attack hit with your blasters. And it was awesome because it was truly epic. It was like, oh, did you do it? Everyone asked you, did you do it flying sideways through the air while you're doing it? It's like John Woo would be proud. And you asked me, you said,
had the flames. So all we needed was the dove.
The dove. Yeah. So it was like, is there a white dove? I said, it's Minox.
Yes. Nice. Little Minox flew by as Dak jumped out and fired. And our Jedi didn't do as they did great, but yeah. they got pinned down for a couple of rounds by the flamethrowers.
Yeah.
And so Dak just sat in the back and would take pot shots, and so did our scout, who did a great job. The guy playing our scout did a great job as well.
Yeah, that was it was very impressive. And that encounter, for those listening, it's baddies on a open air tram that's several dozen squares ahead of the PC's tram in an enclosed tunnel. The BBEG and his two captains with a prisoner. The two captains jetpacks with carbines and flamethrowers, and the BBEG had a repeating blaster pistol and a grenade launcher.
And that's why we spread out. Because we saw the grenade launcher, we were like, oh, we're going to die.
Did he even get to fire?
He fired once.
He fired once, yeah.
And he slapped my Mothma, and then he was in deep doo-doo.
It's funny, because in our session, when Mon Mothma went over the edge, it was the Wookiee who went after her as well. So.
See, that's going to now be canon.
One would hope.
Actually, one of the things about the whole series of the three modules that I think sort of helped tie it together is I'm sort of reviewing it all in my head. Mon Mothma is the only actual canonical character that appears in any of those modules. Am I right on that?
Yep.
Yeah, but it's sort of like the party's like relationship with her. I think is sort of like what kind of like kept us sort of like the glue of what's going on. It's like by the time you're in that last encounter, it's just like, yeah, like, no, it's like we're not leaving here without Mon Mothma. Like, we have to get her out. It's just sort of like, wait a minute. It's like she's on screen for like less than a minute in like Return of the Jedi. It's just like wait, it's like how do we end up like caring so much about like this?
She's
like
really,
you know, this one
hot
character
and young.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Always for the redheads. I think that one of the other things that was really, really cool about the modules themselves is you wrote a coherent backstory for the characters. We didn't have to do a lot of fumbling around to try and, oh, how do we know each other? How do we work together? We really were able to just kind of hit the ground running together.
Cool. That's good to hear.
All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, I have to bring this to an end because Reaper is closing.
Ah.
It is Sunday evening, and... I just wanted to thank all you guys for coming out.
Guys, this has been a fantastic convention. I want to thank each and every one of you. This has been one of the more memorable events for me in a long time. I haven't had this much fun in a while. It's been great. Thank you
Thanks
all.
For
thank
having
thank
us
you,
on
everyone.
Here.
Yeah. Gamer Nation, thank you for tuning in and listening to us on this wonderful soiree through other people's gaming adventures. Yes. ReaperCon, it rocks. Thank you all.
That's right.
This is GM Chris wishing you peace, love, and good gaming.
And keep them dice rolling.
This is Chris Bradshaw, and I never listen to the Order 66 podcast because I'm too busy hanging out with Sophie the Succubus at ReaperCon 2011.
Hey, this is Jawas 8, my Jedi. Here you go, smash. That was a blast, guys. Thank you.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com. This podcast and related websites are not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited, 20th Century Fox, or Wizards of the Coast, and are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at starwars.com. The official Wizards of the Coast site can be found at wizards.com.
The Star Wars logo, D20 logo, D20 system references, all names, pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited, Wizards of the Coast, or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content on this podcast and its related website, including graphical, textual, audio, and visual information, is the intellectual property of the Order 66 podcast.